RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
MP on the mic. Welcome aboard. It's a Monday morning. It's a victory Monday. It's a complicated morning because we've got a lot to talk about. The Commanders won. Yeah, the Commanders are for real. I don't have words for what I saw yesterday. That was all the things I've asked for 20 years, basically. You're seeing all these records they're setting is, oh, most this since 1991, most that since 1990. Dan Snyder didn't own the team then. We're talking about stuff that's so far in the past that it predates Dan Snyder. And that feels refreshing. That feels good. 38-plus points in consecutive games for the first time since 1991. We just skipped the entire Dan Snyder era. Get right back to it. Jaden Daniels was the truth. Cliff Kingsbury having a game. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about the defensive line. That's why I'm really excited. Dorrance Armstrong had himself a day yesterday. It's a victory Monday. Do you believe? I asked last week. I said I'm hesitant. I've been burned before. It's hard to jump back in. Did you watch yesterday? Do you believe? I think I do. I'm ready to get hurt again. Let's do this. Commanders football, they are atop the NFC East. It is not, we do the ha-ha, they're leading the NFC East after two games. This is a legit, they look like the best team in the NFC East right now through four games. Doesn't mean they'll win the NFC East, but it means you can feel good about a lot of things going on right now. Victory Monday, we'll celebrate with you. We'll keep the good vibes going. Oh, and there's this. Last time we talked to you, I was in Miami, and the Hokies were about to play against Miami. And things happened Friday night that we need to get into. We'll do that in the later segments. We'll take your calls. The Hail Mary, the pass, the replay review, I was standing no more than 40 yards from it. I'll tell you what I saw. We'll recap. One of the crazier nights of football I've ever been to. I've seen a few games in my day. That was something special / not great / I like what the Hokies showed the rest of the way / I still have major concerns about the coaching. There's a lot to unwind there. You might think because of all that, we won't have time to talk about baseball. I want to make time to talk about baseball before the show's done because I could not be more intrigued by this situation between the Braves and the Mets today. Two games, if one team wins both of them, that team makes the playoffs. If they split the games today, they both get to make the playoffs. There's gamesmanship, there's a lot to tease out there. There's a lot riding on it. And then there's the implications for both those teams having to go right into a series the next day. So I want to make time for baseball as well, especially now that we got the postseason schedule set. Postseason baseball at Camden Yards starting tomorrow. One of the game's great venues and should be a great series and a really good matchup for the O's against the depleted, fading, whatever you want to call them, Kansas City Royals. But there's only one place to start this program, and that's with the Washington Commanders. Do you believe?
Big Mo. What's that smell?
No, I taste victory.
Oh, victory!
The best is yet to come.
That's how you start a radio program. 42-14, Commanders beat the Arizona Cardinals. And by the way, I'm ready to believe. I'm ready to get hurt again. I'm in. I said they wouldn't do it. They reeled me back in. I love this kid. I love the moxie. I love the throws. I love how everything they've been bad at for the last 20 years, they're suddenly good at. I love that they're 6-for-6 on fourth downs this season. I love that they get a holding penalty or a false start, and Jane's just like, well, I'll throw it 15 yards instead of 10 now. I love the completion percentage. I love the Cliff Kingsbury offense. I'm in love. I love what I'm seeing. And boy, that was a statement of a statement game as you can get right there. Going against a Cardinals team that had some success this year and turning it on defensively, at least up front. I'll wait on the tape. Excited to dig into the tape after we finish the show today. Was Emmanuel Forbes as good as I thought he was? Was Kyler Murray as bad as I thought he was? Probably a mix of both. Kyler made some bad decisions yesterday, but I think he made some bad decisions because that defensive line was finally working. Dorrance Armstrong, my defensive player of the game, it was not particularly close either. He was everywhere. And I know that Jeremy Chinn had a nice game too. I know Frankie Louvu had a nice game. You saw him in a lot of places moving around. But to me, this was a Dorrance Armstrong game. Jeremy Chinn had a lot of positives. He also had a handful of negatives. That's why he's not my player of the game, right? If you just added up the positives, it is probably the Jeremy Chinn game. He also had some demerits along the way. I don't think Dorrance Armstrong did. That dude just got after the quarterback every time. Allen and Payne, that was a game we wanted to see from them. Taking care of the inside, letting Dorrance Armstrong go one-on-one, do his thing. That's the complimentary football we've been waiting for, and we saw it for 3 hours. And all the little things, right? I'll keep coming back to this. They've been so bad at all the little things for 20 years. It's just so good to see them get it right. Score before halftime, turn around, get the first drive going. This isn't a team that does that. When have we ever seen the Washington Commanders play smart football? I can't believe it. But they are. And by the way, this whole thing is anchored by a running game that is just plowing over dudes. Brian Robinson, Jeremy McNichols. They didn't have Austin Eckler. Wasn't a big deal. They just kept on rolling. B-Rob is every bit as much the MVP as anybody else on this team, not named Jaden Daniels, is right now. Just incredible, jaw-dropping numbers. Jeremy McNichols yesterday, 8.5 yards per carry. Brian Robinson yesterday, 5 yards per carry, got to 100 yards late. Very, very impressive. I'm in on these guys. I think you might be as well. We heard last week, after the Giants game, we didn't hear anything, right? They beat the Giants. They didn't score a touchdown. Whoopity freaking do, right? Nobody was like, I'm a fan again. Let's go. I liked what we saw from the kid, and I said that. But last week against the Bengals, the McLaurin catch, the big moments on national TV, I think a lot of people said, okay, all right, I could maybe be a part of this. I don't want to be. I got out. I don't want to get back in. Just when I'm out, they pull me back in again. But then this one, 42-14, that wasn't a fluke. That was a good NFL victory. That was a team that would have beat a lot of other NFL teams yesterday. Managed the clock well, managed the situations well, managed the personnel well. Jaden Daniels, by the way, was spectacular once again, spreading the ball around, finding his dudes. Give me the Luke McCaffrey throws, my favorite. Just a very casual fling of the wrist, sidearm, third down conversion. There aren't a lot of guys who can make that throw. All right, my favorite play of the game. We don't have the clip because it's a bad play. My favorite play of the game was the interception. When Jaden Daniels threw the interception to Terry McLaurin. I'm going to tell you why. Obviously, the kid was going to make a mistake at some point. You go back and look at that play, and they talked about this briefly on TV. He made the right decision. He threw the ball to the right place. He just missed the throw high. It turned into an interception. That's fine. That's fixable. He had so many good throws. If you're throwing interceptions because you're seeing things that aren't there, that's bad. Defenses see that. There was nothing you can scout if you're a defense in that Jaden Daniels interception. If you're the Cleveland Browns and you're watching the tape, you say, "Dad, we got to get Jaden Daniels. What can we do? How can we stop him?" You turn on the tape. You go, "All right, fire up the interception. What did they do? How did they confuse him?" They didn't. He threw the ball to the right spot. He just threw it a little high. There's nothing there to work with. You can't make him throw the ball a little high. It's a thing that accidentally happened once. He made the right call. He made the right read. He did that so many times. 4 weeks now, four NFL defenses, four teams trying to fluster the kid, trying to throw things at him. Hasn't happened yet. He made the right call so many times. He put the ball in so many tight windows, and he got Terry McLaurin 10 targets, which is welcome, overdue, good vibes, good feelings all the way around. It's a Commanders victory Monday, and this one feels really, really good. Feels like we might be onto something here. 3-1, top of the NFC East. Not a fluke, not funny, not, haha, they're in first place after 2 weeks. They're legit first place right now. They are that good right now. This is a game that reopens the possibilities. They're coming home. They're playing Cleveland this week. This could be the best home field crowd they've had since 2012. And maybe before that. People are ready. You get the sense. I got a lot of texts yesterday, right? You watching this? Yeah, I'm watching. Yeah, I watch. Kid's pretty good. Yeah, kid's pretty good. These are people who like 3-4 years ago quit texting me on Sundays. They, live their lives, rake the leaves, spread the mulch. They're back. They see it. They're having fun. Jaden's having fun. Cliff's having fun. 42-14 against the team that fired you. You think that's not fun? Cliff was having some fun yesterday. Threw some stuff at him. I like everything I'm seeing. I'm ready to be hurt again. Let's fire it up. And with this much momentum, I'm excited for Sunday. I'm excited for FedEx Field. I think it'll be the best crowd in a decade. And I think if you win that game, show people a good time, you can bring some more people back into the fold. It happens gradually. Then it happens all at once. I think we're on to something special here. We'll dive into that. We'll play some highlights from the game. We'll take you to the post-game locker room in Glendale. We'll do it all. We will get to the Hokies. Bookmark that for 10:30. AWOD and I and fantasy football this week. Battle of the Cellar Dwellers. We'll make sure you get an update on that during crosstalk as well. It's going to come down to Monday Night Football. This game, it has it all. Thrills, bad teams, everything you could possibly want in a fantasy football matchup. More Commanders victory Monday, though, on the other side. We'll open up the phone lines. You ready to believe? 833-804-0910. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. In 12 minutes, I'll dive into the Virginia Tech finish. We got time for both today. We'll make time for both. Probably won't have time to go around the NFL like we normally do. We'll do that all week, though. Steelers fall to the Colts. Didn't see that one coming. Packers fall to the Vikings. Didn't see that one coming. It's a wild year in the NFL, so why not us, as Russell Wilson once said? Why not Jaden Daniels? Why not the Washington Commanders? Why not a team that is completing more of its passes than any other team in the NFL? Why not a quarterback who, by a lot of advanced metrics, I'm just going to say it, is the best quarterback in the NFL right now? Spooky? Scary? It's October tomorrow. It's Halloween season. I did not see the Washington Commanders dressing up as a good football team. Not this year, not this October. We knew the kid would be good or had what it takes to be good eventually, right? I don't think anybody this offseason would say, Jaden Daniels, oh, what a bum. We had the Topgolf thing, I guess. That was as close as anybody really. Tom Lavero said, like, his mom's maybe crazy. Tom Lavero's made a living out of saying they won't win, and he's been right for 20 years. I think most people saw, this is a kid with potential. This is a kid who could be good. I didn't see how quickly they were going to get good or just how good they would be. The numbers are staggering, right? And I poo-pooed all offseason. They're not the Houston Texans. They're not that loaded. They're not a roster that's built to win right now. Jaden might be better than C.J. Stroud was at this point last year. Everything that's been thrown at the kid, everything that's been put on his plate, right? Because not all situations are the same. If Tom Brady gets drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars instead of the New England Patriots, do we know his name today? Almost certainly not. Maybe he's good. Maybe he has a couple good years in the NFL. He probably flames out. And, you know, because he's a late-round draft pick, we never hear from him again, right? Is C.J. Stroud good, or is the team around him good? Yes, C.J. Stroud is unquestionably good, and he got put in a great situation there in Houston. Great coach, great defense. He's got, four really, really good pass catchers to throw the ball to. So that's why when Jaden Daniels gets drafted here, you talk to people, everybody likes the kid. Good work ethic, has the skills, can fling the ball. You saw that yesterday, obviously. But look at the situation. Who's your best pass catcher? It's Terry McLaurin. Who's your second best pass catcher? I don't know. Maybe Brian Robinson. It's, you know, Noah Brown's gonna make some noise here. Although I saw from Noah Brown, none of these guys are name guys. Zach Ertz is a name guy 7 years ago. Zach Ertz isn't here to be a superstar. He's playing good football. You look at this offensive line. There are no stars on this offensive line. Y'all know Sam Cosmi's my guy. There's four other guys up there, too. You look at what they've got defensively, nothing. They've got a few pieces they can build around. But you saw in the first few games, this isn't a top 10 defense. This may not be a top 15 defense. All of that, and you say, all right, the kid could be good. Don't break the kid while you build a good team around him. The kid's been better than everybody else around him and has lifted this whole team. That's partially Cliff Kingsbury. I love what Cliff Kingsbury's doing. I love these concepts. I'm excited to watch back this game today. This partially, you know, because Brian Robinson is running like a madman. He's been just so tough to bring down. He's putting them in great situations. But it's first and foremost and primarily Jaden Daniels. He's been so good. He processes, he reads, he is ready for every play, every week. He makes the right decision seemingly every single time. You're waiting for the kid to make a mistake, and I mentioned this in the first segment, the interception wasn't a mistake. He accidentally threw the ball a little too hard, but he put it in the right spot to the right guy. He made the right decision on just about every play. It's a credit to coaching. I'm not taking anything off of Cliff Kingsbury's plate, but it takes a special kid to do that. I think everybody sees that. Only took a couple hits yesterday. That was very encouraging as well. It was an exciting game, front to back, 42 points. And he's a team player. This is very kind. He let Tressway punt yesterday. I thought that was really nice of him. Didn't have to do that. Third and long, fourth downs, all day. Every time they had one of those situations, we'll convert that. I thought it was nice of him to let Tress Way punt yesterday. That was good. It's a team game. Tress gave him his number 5. I think the least you can do is let the kid punt every third game or so, every once in a while. I thought that was really nice of him. Let him get out, have a punt. His family's probably watching on TV, really proud of him.
Throw him a bone.
Got out there, he punted the ball. Punted that ball so hard. You can tell it was weeks of pent-up punting aggression. Mm-hmm. He let it all out right there. And then we went right back. to the Jaden Daniels show. Also, doing this in back-against-the-wall situations, I know 42 points isn't a back-against-the-wall situation. The Cardinals scored, boom, 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 first drive. That was everything we expected to see from the Commanders' defense. They just marched down the field, threw a touchdown pass. We're never really in any danger of not scoring a touchdown pass. And then to answer back, right? Because if you don't, if you punt on that second drive, what's going to happen? They could go up 14-0. It's a different game. It's a different feel. It's a different vibe. It's a different atmosphere. That first drive, like the Bengals game, right? First drive of the second half, set the tone, kept pace. First drive of the first half of the Bengals game, Jamar Chase gets his. The offense says, all right, you're going to do this. We'll match you step for step all day. Here's Brian Robinson. He's one tough dude.
First quarter clock running, snap, handoff, Robinson up the middle towards the goal line. Is he in? He is! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! An answer to the Cardinals' opening drive!
Then they get the ball back, and Brian Robinson, to me, is your running back star. But you talk about good systems survive even when players go out. Austin Eckler's out. Jeremy McNichols is in. I loved his game yesterday.
10:28 to go in the first half. Handoff, McNichols to the left, has room, 25-20, gets away from Baker, to the 10, 5, goes to the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Jeremy McNichols with a strong run to the end zone!
that wasn't Hazel, that was the on-site producer, like, hang on, we're going to call a lot of these today, we're going too hard, too fast here.
Got to bring these levels down.
You're calling game-winning touchdown levels. We're only at 14. We're going to keep doing this for a while. Why don't we stack on the Terry McLaurin touchdown before the break? Because that one was fun, too.
He's out to the right. Two wide receivers to the left. Here's the snap. Arizona breaks four. Plenty of time for Jaden. Throws over to the middle, into the end zone. That is caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Terry McLaurin, back-to-back weeks for a score in the fourth!
Somebody get Bram some cough drops. He's calling too many touchdowns out here. It's a tough gig. They didn't warn him about that. You come in, you're like, touchdown. Like, I got to call that like I mean it, like a soccer goal. Like, yeah, we only get a few of these every year. You load them up. 42 points. Unbelievable. What a win for the Washington Commanders. 42-14. They're 3-1. They're the real deal. That Terry McLaurin one, that made 35-14. It was back and forth. Going into the fourth quarter, it wasn't a given these guys were going to win. That was the one that sent everybody to the exits. That was the one. That was the dagger. Finished it off from there. You see Doug Williams on the sideline hugging Jaden Daniels. We talked about that last week in depth. What it means to surround the kid with a support system. What it means that the kid is accepting that and taking that coaching. He's special. You're seeing it in real time. We're all witnessing it together. It's a ton of fun. We'll get back to the Commanders. We'll slide back to Victory Monday. But I keep teasing we're going to talk about the Hokies. We are going to talk about the Hokies as soon as we get back from this break. Georgia-Alabama was great, too. It was a great weekend of football. But we're going to talk about the Hokies because I was down there in Miami. I got some stories. We got some stories. They're on the other side. This is 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Final play of the game. Drones out of the gun. Drops the throw. Flipping it into the end zone. The ball is in the air and the ball is caught. Who's got it? Is it a touchdown or an incomplete pass? No ruling yet. No ruling yet by the officials. A Miami player comes out of there with the ball.
Wait a minute. He's ruling touchdown.
It's a touchdown. It's a touchdown. Hokies win it. Hokies win it on the last play.
Both teams back to the bench. The game is not over.
Here's the call.
After further review, the ruling on the field is reversed. It's an incomplete pass.
Wow.
And that is how the game ends.
Unbelievable.
Miami wins 38-34.
So that happened. I've been here 17 years. I've seen a lot of Hokie football. Mike Burnup's been here like his whole life. He's done like 500 games. We'll play the clip probably later, maybe in this segment. Said that was the saddest locker room he's ever been in. It's bad that we have rankings on this. I'm going to take the Danny Cole Sugar Bowl locker room, where they also got jobbed by Instant Replay. You'll never convince me otherwise that Danny Cole didn't catch that football. They were Sugar Bowl champs that year. That was a sad locker room. This was a weird one. All right, so we were down in Miami. We did the pregame show, talked about how this was an opportunity for the Hokies, and start ACC play 0-0, good team. And by the way, Cam Ward's really good. I thought Miami played well. Thought the Hokies played really well too. If the Hokies play like this, they can beat Clemson. They could be back in the ACC title game. Can they sustain this every week? I don't know. There were a lot of mistakes too. We'll dive into that. It's a complicated game to break down because you had a lot of good plays. You also had a lot of, okay, here's why we're losing trust in Brent Pry rapidly. They did the two numbers at the same time thing again. This time the refs didn't notice. Still, though, if you've been called once in a season for having two guys wearing the same number, it shouldn't happen a second time in that season. Period. It's basics. Basics. They did not manage the clock well at the end of the first half. They did not manage the clock well at the end of the game. And you know I love it when coaches are aggressive, but when the fake field goal misses that badly, you have to ask, what did you see on tape that wasn't there? Did you tip it? Did you not have a good play? You know, it's a results-oriented business. I don't mind being aggressive, but at the end of the game, sure would have been nice to have those 3 points. Would have been nice to taken Miami's 3 points before halftime away. Those things were all doable. Those things are all coaching, and that's the frustration. The good, APR was so good. Kelvin Gilliam was so good. That defensive line got pressure on Cam Ward. He still played a great game, but man, that defense was all over him all night long. Very impressive. Offensively, got tootin' scootin', doing the things you need to do. Kyron steadied himself, made better throws than he's made all season long, got time to make those throws. Going back, you know, I was watching a little bit of this before the game, watching some of the previous games. I don't think it's been a bad passing game in the sense that Kyron Drones has been bad. He hasn't had time. And they put in some concepts. They gave him time, and the running game being good gave him that time. Also, it was a long game. That's the most humid weather I've ever been in my life. Like, the hurricane had just passed through. It was 90 degrees on the field, and whatever above 100% humidity is, that's the amount of humid it was. Now, there's always the thing when the other team's offense starts moving fast, somebody cramps up and has to be helped off the field and you get the free time, and the crowd was booing their heart out. I'm not saying all of them were legitimate, but some of them were. The dudes were cramping up legitimately. I think some of them were illegitimate cramps or exaggerated for effect and timing. But the dudes were struggling out there. It was a tough atmosphere to play football in, which gave... And also, I've been, I don't know, I've maybe been 7 or 8 games down in Miami, pro games, college games. The crowd's never been good. I've never seen a good crowd in a Miami game. There are a ton of very legitimate reasons for that, by the way. Miami is designed so that if you would like to drive from somewhere to somewhere else, 2 hours minimum, it's a brutally designed city. It's not a circle. It's a straight line. So if you live anywhere on the straight line that's not near where you want to go, you have to drive through all the other places in the straight line. It's because of the alligators, so I get it. I don't want to live by alligators either. Brutal traffic. The University of Miami, Coral Gables, is a full hour away from the football stadium. So you know what? How come they don't have a good crowd? Well, there are reasons they don't have a good crowd. Like, and it's Miami. There's other stuff to do. People, the game's on TV. People are doing stuff. It was a good crowd Friday night. I think the Hokies would tell you that too. 3/4 full. It was loud. They were feeling it. It was a really good crowd, which I've never seen at any game down there, pro or college. Fun atmosphere, fun night of football. It all gets overshadowed by that last play. You want to do my thoughts on instant replay? Look, they're well known. My thoughts on instant replay are very well known. Let's refresh the audience. I'm known for very few things. I don't give out a lot of hot takes on this program, but when I do, one of them that I give out very regularly, I hate instant replay with a burning passion. It takes the fun out of the moment. He makes a great catch in the end zone. Hang on, everybody, hang on. I hate instant replay. I think it's fair to bring our biases to this discussion here. That is mine. I hate instant replay. I'm not a homer. I'm going to call on all the credibility I've earned doing this show for the last year, being here for 16 years, calling it like it is. I've earned a reputation as somebody who is not a homer, right? So I think everybody would agree on that. I've been quite down on the Commanders for a very long time. It's not hard to do. I don't talk myself into the wins. I call it like I see it. I'm going to call on all the credibility I've earned right now. The Hokies, Hazel, got screwed. There's just no other way to put it. Mm. They got jobbed by what happened at the end of that football game.
It was heartbreaking.
Okay. Here's the problem. I don't like instant replay. Let's set that aside for a second. We have rules. And if we play by the rules, we can all accept the outcome. And one of those rules is instant replay is designed to correct obvious and flagrant misofficiated plays. And I can agree with that, right? So if you go to the replay monitor and it's not conclusive, you let the call on the field stand. Instant replay is also, in the book, supposed to take 90 seconds or less. They looked at that film for 5.5 minutes. Now, he goes down at the ball in the end zone. They call touchdown. You know we're going to replay, right? So you don't... Nobody's losing their mind yet. 5.5 minutes of looking at the tape. Crunching the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seems like longer than 90 seconds.
It's so long. If there's conclusive evidence that the call on the field was wrong, you overturn the call on the field. I'll tell you this. If the call on the field had been incomplete, I think I would say the same thing this morning. I don't think you could overturn it. I'll say this. I don't believe this is a conspiracy to keep Miami undefeated because I don't think ACC refs are smart enough to operate a conspiracy. I've been watching ACC football for a long time. It does look most of the time like they're just winging it. And the explanation proved that to me because They didn't give an explanation. And then 2 hours after the game, they put out an emailed statement explaining why they called what they called. And they said they saw the Miami player possess the ball out of bounds. 2 hours afterward, after watching the tape for 5.5 minutes. Simultaneous possession goes to the receiver. Okay? So this explanation doesn't hold up because you see in that moment both players, Daquan Felton and Isaiah Horton, both possess the ball simultaneously. And Isaiah Horton is out of bounds. Simultaneous possession goes to the receiver. If you go up for a pass and the defensive back goes up for a pass and they both catch it and they fall to the ground, it is a catch for the receiver. Those are the rules. Okay? If they both catch it, they come down, the defensive player is standing out of bounds, the offensive player is standing in bounds, the offensive player still caught the ball. He has possession by the tiebreaker. He's not out of bounds. There is no out of bounds on the play. He caught the ball. Felton maybe caught the ball, maybe didn't catch the ball. Nobody knows. We watched it for 5.5 minutes. We don't know. Nobody knows. So to go in 5.5 minutes later and be like, we think we saw something, overturn it. What rules are we playing by? This is a society. We have rules and laws. And they just, they're watching TV for a little while and they're like, we'll just make up whatever we want to make up. This feels right. No, we have rules. If they call it incomplete on the field, you uphold that as well. Nobody could see anything from that tape. You can't convince me otherwise. We had a lot of angles, a lot of slow motion. We made it all pixelated. We did that thing where they zoom in, like, you know, we did the pinch, the zoom, all of it. Nobody could see what was going on there. You can't tell me you could see what's going on there. Now, if you tell me that's an incompletion on the field, I don't see enough to make it a catch. You tell me that's a catch on the field, I don't see enough to make it an incompletion. 5.5 minutes. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I just think the refs have decided we can do whatever we want in instant replay. And they got somebody in Charlotte watching it on TV helping them out. I don't love that, because that's not what we were told instant replay was. Instant replay. All right, I'm going to read from the... I know I'm over time. I want to read from the rule book, though, because I'm still fired up about this Hokies finish. From the rule book. The instant replay process operates under the fundamental assumption that the ruling on the field is correct. The replay official may reverse a ruling if and only if the video evidence is convincing beyond all doubt that the ruling on the field was incorrect. Without such indisputable video evidence, the replay official must allow the ruling to stand. Tell me what part of those rules was followed Friday night in Miami. It wasn't. It wasn't. I'm over my time. I'll keep getting worked up about this. We got more time. AWOD Radio is at noon. He's live at Capitol House. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We just didn't follow the rules. There are rules. We didn't follow the rules. It's a complicated game because they should have won. Hokies should have won. They got jobbed. Hokies should have won. And also, we saw everything that we haven't loved about Brent Pry to date. And it's complicated. You want them to win. You want them to make the ACC title game. That's a good enough team to. You worry about the things you saw with the clock management because they weren't great. And now you go into the West Coast playing Stanford. I'll do the NIL pitch real quick. Friday night, we're in Miami. It didn't bother me. That's my job. They pay me to do it. I get paid. The Hokies are there. They get on the plane to go home at, what, like 2 in the morning, get home 3 in the morning. It's not a great situation for them. That's fine. I get that. Miss a day of school, come down Thursday. Now, this week, they have to go out, fly out to San Francisco, 6-hour flight, go play at Stanford, and then get on a plane, red-eye, fly home after the football game. That's a lot of work, right? That's very different than why don't you take a bus to Harrisonburg and go play JMU. That is all being done to generate obscene amounts of money through television contracts. It's why we played Friday Night Football. It's why we played the game where and when we did. It's why Stanford is in the ACC. The naked pursuit of money by college administrators. Why should the students not get a cut of that? I think everybody's coming around. I think I was one man screaming in the wilderness for a long time. I think more people are nodding now than get their blood pressure up when I say that. Why should they not be compensated if they have to get on a plane twice in 2 weeks for long cross-country trips at 2 a.m. in the name of making money? Why should they not be compensated? They should be compensated. As always, my solution is not more compensation and more, you know, cross-country games. My solution is less cross-country games, more get on a bus, go play in Harrisonburg, take the money out of the system, don't pump more money into it. That will never happen. That is a funny thing I say from time to time. We'll dive back into the Hokies in hour number two, but in 9 minutes, it's Commanders Victory Monday. We're in. We're all in. We're ready to be heard again. We're doing this thing. I want to steal a couple minutes to talk about baseball. I know that's unpopular. I don't care. This is my radio program. We're stealing 4 minutes to talk about baseball. We got to talk about this Braves-Mets series. I am endlessly fascinated by what is going to happen today. But we've been following a story all year long, and it would be downright inappropriate of us not to see it through to its conclusion. Here's what happened over the weekend.
The pitch hit in the air, right center field, and it is caught, a collision out there. Perez made the catch. He ran right into Meadows, and that's the ball game. And the Detroit Tigers clinch a playoff spot, and the White Sox lose their 121st game. White Sox staved off, lost 121 for a few days, but the loss tonight means they have set some history.
Worst team in baseball history. Ken Burns made a movie about the Civil War, and then he was like, I don't have to talk about some other things that happened a long time ago. I'll make a long movie about baseball, too. And like, you know, Knucklehead Brown and Three Finger Mordecai, and like all these people. Like, none of them were as bad as this year's Chicago White Sox. We were truly living in extraordinary times. Worst baseball team ever. Today, though, the season's over. The season ended yesterday. Because of the hurricane, the Braves and the Mets didn't get to play two games last week. And so I think everybody was hoping it just wouldn't matter. Teams would be in the playoffs or out of the playoffs. It matters. They're going back to Atlanta. Two games today. Game at 1 o'clock. Game immediately after that. Here's how this works. If the Braves or the Mets win both games, they make the playoffs. The other team doesn't. If they split the two games, they both make the playoffs. And the playoffs start tomorrow. So we have pitching considerations here now as well. You know, normally in a do-or-die situation, you throw your best pitcher. But then are you going to be able to win the next game and the next game down the line? So right now, both the Braves and the Mets are pitching kind of good pitchers today in the first game. And they've both communicated, if we win the first game, we're shutting it down for the second game. It's the scrubs, it's the AAA All-Stars for the second game. If they lose, they're going to pitch one of their good pitchers in the second game to ensure they make the playoffs. I think they're approaching this wrong. I think once one team tips its hand that it's trying to win the first game, you need to try to win the second game. Because both teams have made very clear they want to win the first game. They do not care if they win the second game or not. They got to rest up. They got to get healthy. Guys are going to have ice bags on in the clubhouse. Dugout's going to be empty. It's the AAA All-Stars. I think you want to try to win the second game. I think you want AAA All-Stars in the first game and a kind of good pitcher in the second game because that'll be enough. But you run the risk. It's baseball. Weird things happen, right? There's the chance the AAA All-Stars win a game because even the White Sox won 40 baseball games this year. It happens. Anybody can do it. Anybody can win a baseball game on any given day. I love this situation. First game, yeah, it'll be fun. They'll both be playing for it. Second game, one team's going all out to try to make the playoffs. One team doesn't care. I could see that team winning because it's baseball, and I love it. Postseason baseball starts tomorrow officially. Orioles and the Royals, a couple teams are really slumping late in the season. As they say, somebody's got to win. One of the things I love about baseball postseason, get day baseball. Nothing better than day baseball in the playoffs, especially at Camden Yard. Nothing better than a Commanders victory Monday. More on that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Hour 105.
Be on the mic, hour number two on a Commanders victory Monday. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app.
Four games in the books. Washington Commanders, 23 scoring drives, 19 incomplete passes. They've had more scoring drives than they've had incomplete passes. And they've punted the ball through four games four times. The numbers are staggering and remarkable, and it's not a fluke. It's the real deal. The 73 Rams, the only other team with more scoring drives than incomplete passes through four games. Dez Bryant on Twitter. I hate that I have to tweet this, but if you really knew football and how the game has transformed, you would have known the Commanders was going to be a problem this year. I give a lot of credit to Coach Dan Quinn because he knows how to get the right coaches, and he put his players in the best position to play some football. With that being said, go to hell, Commanders fans. Always good to hear from Dez Bryant. Throwing up the X down there in Dallas. The Washington Commanders have scored 38-plus points in consecutive games for the first time since weeks 11 and 12 of the 1991 season. All right, couple more. This was only the sixth time in the last 100 games that Washington is led by double digits at halftime. Incredible. I'm ready to get hurt again. I'm in. I've seen enough through four games. Very, very impressive. Jeremy McNichols coming in for Austin Ekeler. This is a good system. One guy out, one guy in. Keep it rolling. Here's Jeremy McNichols putting the exclamation point on a 42-point day.
Jane Daniels under center. Second and goal at the 7. Handoff. McNichols navigates 5. Walks in. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! His second of the game!
Two touchdowns for Jeremy McNichols. 8.5 yards per carry. B-Rob, rushing touchdown. Jeremy McNichols, 2 rushing touchdowns. Jane Daniels, rushing touchdown, throwing touchdown. Terry McLaurin catching that. Loves seeing scary Terry get on the board, catching a touchdown. Very, very, I mean, just the balance, the attack. We didn't see Luke McCaffrey until the end of the game. It was a big third down conversion. Everything was just so smooth. And it didn't look, what was the game, the college, nice college offense? It didn't look like the training wheels were on yesterday. He was making reads. He was going 2 deep. He was going 3 deep. You saw the progression. You saw him. Is the first receiver open? No. Second receiver? No. I'm going to the third receiver. Those are advanced concepts. And Jane Daniels has trained for this. He trained for this at LSU. He's a big believer in the VR headset. I know that drives Awad nuts. I think that's a big part of his success is the VR headset. It may be a stub thing. One of the two hates the VR headset. Whatever it is, I think it's a big part of the success. He doesn't ever look like he's experiencing something for the first time. Goes running in for the touchdown, and you saw the smile, you saw the celebration. They know something special's happening. They know this is a team now that you got to reevaluate the ceiling, the potential. They're not going to win them all, but they're going to win a few. They got Cleveland. I love this game next week already. You got a reeling Cleveland Browns team coming to what I believe will be the first true home field advantage at Commander's Stadium, FedEx Field, Northwest Park, whatever it is. It's one of Kanye's kids. Northwest, South, Stadium, East, I don't know. This is going to be the first true home field advantage there in a decade. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a winnable game, and it's an opportunity to bring some fans back into the fold who have left. Now, I think the story today, obviously nationally, is Jaden Daniels. He's so good. It's hard to overstate how important he's been to all of this. Without him, none of this happens. The most important person to his team in all of football is Patrick Mahomes. If you take Patrick Mahomes off the Chiefs, that's a mediocre to bad football team. He's that valuable to them. Justin Herbert is a lot of that in San Diego, in L.A., the Chargers, San Diego Superchargers, now in L.A. I think Jaden Daniels is in that club. That's how important he is. And the story's going to be about how good he is, and I love that. He deserves that. He deserves everything coming his way. He's worked for it. To me, the story yesterday was Dorrance Armstrong going to work on the defensive line, was Cleveland Farrell's group making some noise, was Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, clogging up the middle, preventing the Cardinals from getting anything going on the run game. Some big stops. They were on Kyler Murray all day. 16 for 22. The numbers were fine, but only 142 yards. He had to keep it moving. They got after him. The pressure was very good. And that's the story to me today. If you combine this offense with an average defense, you can go places. Here's DQ on the defense.
The defense here, you're closer than you think. And it hadn't been the performances that we wanted going into today. But I didn't think we were as far off. And so I thought, you know, knock one out with Ouse to get one, get the recovery. I thought that was big. Felt their pass rush.
Yeah, it was good. It was good across the board. That's why Dan Quinn and Joe Witt are here. You see the development week to week, the progression. Now, I don't take anything away from them. I thought Kyler Murray was pretty bad yesterday. Some of that's the pressure. When you have a quarterback, first overall pick, big contract, you need more from him than he gave you. They didn't get enough out of Kyler Murray yesterday. He made some bad throws, some shaky throws, some bad decisions. I think the defense played a big part of that. Other story, Cliff Kingsbury revenge game. Jaden Daniels loves his coach. I can see why.
It's awesome. I mean, me and Cliff just had that communication, that honesty. We're able to go in. Able to go in his office and say, hey, I don't like this. And he's here for it. He wants to put us in the best spot.
Yeah, he's drawn up some winners so far. That's for sure. Love just the way everybody moves and swings and slides. I think the offensive line is all tied together, obviously. Let's play DQ on the offensive line, then we'll unpack that a little more.
Quick shout out to the big guys, you know, to have a big rushing performance, you know, with over 200 yards and no sacks. That's a big guy's kind of day.
Big guy kind of day. It's not a talented group. They're fine, and certainly I've loved watching the development this season. Up front, I think Nick Allegretti has brought a little something to the table. It's been great to see. I think Brandon Coleman has improved every week, which you'd expect. He's a rookie. Didn't take part in training camp. Didn't take part in the preseason. He's kind of gotten his preseason under his belt on the go. They've used the tight ends really smartly. They've used the running backs really smartly. See a lot of that 12 formation, two tight ends packing it in. They're getting help. And I think that makes what Jaden Daniels is doing more impressive. The offensive line, the five, I don't think can hold the pocket enough for Jaden Daniels. I don't think they're good enough on their own. So they're getting help. Jeremy McNichols doing some blocking as a running back. The tight ends, you put two of them, you get some chip blocking. What that means, though, Jaden Daniels doesn't have five receivers to cycle through. He doesn't have five options downfield. He's got two options, and he's got to make those decisions. And certainly his running ability makes that possible as well. Two reads, one, two, they're not open. I got to get moving. Maybe Zach Ertz slides out. You got three. I didn't count a lot of plays where there were more than three options, which means it's harder for them to get open. Because when you have fewer receivers, same number of safeties, you got more double coverage. And that's where Terry McLaurin really stepped up. And Noah Brown, man, what a revelation he's been. Houston didn't need that guy. What's crazy about that is I'm not even mad at Houston. I don't think Houston does need that guy. They're swimming in good receivers down there. They got so many good receivers, they don't know what to do with a Noah Brown. We're desperate for a Noah Brown. We need that cold glass of Noah Brown water. We're walking through the desert here. We need it. Houston's like, got 19 Noah Browns sitting around. What will we do with all of them? We need a Noah Brown. Send us one. We need one now. He's been a revelation. He's been great to watch. I think he could develop into a really complimentary piece for Terry McLaurin. Olamide Zaccheaus, 6 for 6, 85 yards. He was where he needed to be. Another guy. Philly didn't need him. Philly's good. Philly's just swimming in talent. Olamide Zaccheaus, yeah, I don't even put you on the practice squad. He's your starter. 6 catches. Let's go. We need you. They've made the most out of this roster. It's scary to think what this team is going to be capable of doing when they get good players on the team. That's not an insult to Olamide Zaccheaus. It's not an insult to Noah Brown. But this is a team that has a lot of money to spend this offseason. Adam Peters is going to spend it, and guys are going to want to come play with number 5. Jaden Daniels is the real deal. He's been fun to watch. He's the reason they are where they are. Cliff Kingsbury at number 2 on that list, but it's all Jaden Daniels so far. He looks like every bit the quarterback prospect we were promised, and he kept clean yesterday. Only really 2 big hits. That's more sustainable. Looked like a sustainable, successful offense. I'm in. I'm back in. It's a victory Monday. Is that your case? I know a lot of you. You've been out for a while. I think you're seeing what I'm seeing. I think you want back in. I want back in. Looks like a ton of fun. Going to be a ton of fun up there in Landover on Sunday. Cleveland Browns coming to town. I do want to revisit the Hokies finish, though. Frantic Monday. We got a lot to get to. We'll revisit the Hokies finish, the Hail Mary. Collect your thoughts on that. 833-804-0910. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. I'll allow myself one tangent today, just one. When I started in journalism like 17 years ago, if you were on TV, you wore a suit, period. It's funny to see the evolution of that because I remember what is now NBC Sports Washington sent out a memo, and there's like actual news stories about this, like 10 years ago. They stopped wearing ties on the air. We're going to get less formal. So still wear the sport coat, but no tie. Some of the anchors were big mad. Like, who do we think we are? Like, what is this? Like the clown hour? Like, what do we mean we're not wearing ties?
No tie?
As we watch MLB Network today,
lots of t-shirts.
Yeah, there's a big story there of like the TV attire going from like if you're on TV, you are dressed like in a tuxedo to like, well, you're on TV, like just roll out of bed, show up as you are. Like,
let me take this FaceTime video.
Yeah, it happened in about 10 years, really.
It was fast.
Very fast development. You watch the old movies like Walter Cronkite, like, you know, always wearing like the suit. And now we got, you know, and these baseball analysts. Don't worry, I'm going to talk about football. I did my baseball, I did my time, but I reserve the right to watch baseball on my own time. Because we got Braves Mets today. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're still sorting out what happened with Virginia Tech. They got robbed. That was what happened. They spent 5.5 minutes watching the replay. You can't tell what's happening in the replay. You will never convince me otherwise of that. Okay? The Danny Cole replay, you could tell exactly what happens. He catches the football. They go to replay like, I didn't catch the football. That was nonsense, right? That was like, that was probably one of my formative years of hating instant replay. This one is different because I think if you grabbed a neutral person and put them in a room and said, we're going to show you this play, please tell us what happened. I think they would come out of the room and say, it's probably an incomplete pass, but we can't tell. I think that's the fairest assessment of what the video shows. That's not what instant replay is asked to judge. Instant replay operates under the assumption the call is correct. I read the rule book earlier. That's how worked up I am about this. Operates under the assumption the call is correct, and it must be a glaring violation to overturn it. You can't tell me we have that there. We don't have that there. You have to let the call in the field stand. They're making it up as they go. 5.5 minutes later. Let's play some clips from the locker room here. Here's Kyron Drenz. He's the Hokies quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know how that call get overruled, but I'm proud of the team and I'm proud of the way we battled. Finally put a four-quarter game together. Didn't wait till the second half. And I love these dudes, and I just know this happened for a reason, and we just got to go 1-0 next week. It is what it is, and we just got to be better.
ACC refs, they are what they are. They always have been, too. They struggled. Struggled mightily. Now, it benefited the Hokies earlier because for the second time this year, they had two guys on the field wearing the same number on special teams. Refs missed this one. Inexcusable. Not Brent Pry's finest hour, and yet maybe the Hokies' finest hour. Showed they could hang with a team that I think could be undefeated when the dust settles. I think Miami's that good. I think they're a great football team. Cam Ward is a great quarterback. I thought Kyron Drones hung with him, stride for stride, throw for throw. I thought the Hokies defense got after him. You saw enough there to say, we were right. This is a legit ACC contending team. This is a team that could make some noise. You also saw enough there to be like, I don't know if Brent Pry is ever going to be the guy. You got to just say it out loud at this point. It's tough. I didn't want to overreact to the Vandy loss. You remember I came in here after the Vandy loss. It's on the coach. Coach hasn't picked it up since then. I think the players picked it up. I don't know that the coach picked it up. That's concerning. But the finish is obviously what everybody has to say. Caleb Spencer, he went to Life Christian here in Richmond. He was part of that defense that just got after Cam Ward all day. Only thing we care about, though, is the last play. Here is his perspective.
Fell short at the end, you know. It's disappointing for us being up the whole game, but I said we'll build on that loss and keep it pushing through the season, so...
It's I've seen some Hokie football. I've seen some things over the years. I had hopes that this would be the team that broke through, that reclaimed that mantle of Hokie football. This is a place to be. It's going to be tougher after that because, you know, whatever your thoughts on the play, and the only legitimate thought here is they got robbed, by the way. I will not entertain other thoughts. Whatever your thoughts, though, at some point they just are what the record graphic says on the screen, and people just roll their eyes and say, oh, okay, yeah. It's a little bit like Penn State. They are the record. Doesn't matter how they've won. They've won. The Chiefs, probably in that camp as well. 4-0. Haven't played like it, but you are what your record says you are at a certain point when the record means it. Commanders, 3-1. Looking every bit as 3-1. They're good. The kid's good. This is Mike Burnup. He's seen more Hokie football than all of us combined. He goes in the locker room every game, interviews the coach, interviews the players. This is chunky, but this is a lengthy clip here. This is his post-game wrap-up thoughts.
So what's your thoughts, Mike?
That might have been the saddest locker room I've ever been in. Mm-hmm. Just to have that... You know, it makes you think about the wide world of sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I mean, you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in an agonizing overturn of a replay that the guys down there just couldn't believe it. Like, the call on the field was it was a catch, and to have enough video evidence to overturn that, I don't know. It was like Coach Price said, I hope they got it right. Because they just played their fannies off, put down to the last, and just to lose it like that, what an absolute heartbreaker. And you feel bad for them. Did so many things good in this game. Yeah, they made some mistakes. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, Tootin ran the ball well against a really good defense. Drones played well, had some great throws. You know, you win the turnover battle. I mean, there's so many good things. Guys had to step up and play when other guys were cramped up and banged up, and you didn't have all your weapons out there. But a great effort. Just, you know, he said that's a team we thought we would be and should be, and now we need to take it on the road next week. And, you know, if we play our cards right, maybe we'll see Miami again.
I like that wrap-up. I think that hits all the top-line points. That was Brent Pry's reaction. All he said was, I hope they got the call right. Said that a few times. But, you know, asked him a few different ways. You know, what explanation did they give you? They didn't give me an explanation. You know, what they say? I just hope they got it right. They didn't. They didn't get it right because the rules are very clear. You need enough evidence to overturn. They spent 5.5 minutes just standing there. Everybody just standing there. And the refs know. They're about to decide who won the game. To then put your thumb on the scale like that, tough finish to a really good outing by the Hokies players. I can't call it a good outing by the Hokies coaches. I won't call it a good outing by the Hokies coaches. I don't. You know, the scheme was solid. I loved what the defense did. The defense got after Cam Ward. I love what the offensive line did, getting some time for Kyren Drones. Schematically, there were some good leaps forward. Coaching, as a whole, though, was not good enough. And that'll get overshadowed, of course, as it should, because that's one of the craziest finishes I've ever seen on a football field. And it didn't have to be that way. It did not have to be one of the craziest finishes I've ever seen on a football field. But there we were, just all standing around. Who won? Who lost? Nobody knows. Everybody just stand around. We got a guy in Charlotte staring at a TV monitor. Maybe he'll send us a WhatsApp. Let us know what's going on at some point. He's taking his sweet time about it, though. And he could work in the NASCAR replay office. We'll get back to you Tuesday. We'll let you know who won. We'll read some social media posts, figure it out.
Where's the line, Bob?
Not a conspiracy. They're not smart enough to execute a conspiracy. That's my belief. They can't find me. They can find Brent Pry. They can't find me for talking about the officiating. The ref who was in charge of the game also did that Miami Duke game with all the laterals a few years ago. It's funny how, like, certain people end up in those situations more routinely, and other refs will go their whole career without a moment like that. I don't know what happened on the replay. Nobody knows, because you can't tell. So if you have a Hokies fan, it's like, it was clearly a catch. Nah, it wasn't. It clearly wasn't anything. You can't tell what it was. You have to leave the call alone. And I think that's the frustrating part for the Hokies fans this morning. I like Kyren Drones, man. As you know, hey, I disagree, but we played well. We showed who we are. You got two ways to go from here. You can throw in the towel. We're doomed. We're not a good team. You can rally. It's us against the world. We got to fly to the West Coast. We got to play against stupid Stanford because somebody wants to make $12 on ACC Network infomercial commercials. That's the option here. I trust Brent Pry Monday to Friday. I think he'll get this group ready to play. I think they'll beat Stanford. I don't trust him on Saturdays, though. Complicated game. We'll be unwinding this one for a while. Certainly, I mean, it stands out as one of the memories you'll never forget from Hokie football. In the bad way, obviously, Danny Cole, I've mentioned. The Matt Ryan game on Thursday night with Boston College. There's a few of them that just stand out, and you're never going to forget those moments. There's some good ones, too. I won't lie, there's some good ones, too. Being a Hokie fan's not all bad. The atmosphere's always great. It's always hopping in Blacksburg. They got some big wins. Nebraska win comes to mind. You know, they've won some big games over the years. But, man, those losses, that one stays with you forever. That was crushing. We'll come back.
We'll wrap up a busy week in the NFL and college football. We'll send you off to AWOD Radio. He's at noon. He's live from Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.